ரமண மகரிஷி. இன் எர்லியர் எபிசோட்ஸ் ஐ ஹவ் ப்ரெசன்டட் 6 சாப்டர்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் மை புக் டைட்டில்டு கிரேட் சயின்ஸ் ஆஃப் இண்டியா. திஸ் இஸ் தி 7th சாப்டர் ஆஃப் த புக் டீலிங் வித் ரமண மகரிஷி. சாப்டர் 7, ரமண மகரிஷி. Ramana Maharishi was born to a devout father and mother belonging to an orthodox Hindu Brahmin family in a small village near Madurai in South India in the year 1879. It is said that a blind midwife attending his birth saw a brilliant light just as the baby emerged. He was given the name of Venkatraman. He was the second of 4 children in the family. He had 2 brothers named Nagaswami and Nagasundaram, along with a younger sister called Alamelu. When Venkatraman was 7 years old, he had his Upanayana ceremony performed as per the tenets of the Brahmin community. He had a very good memory, an ability he used to memorize Tamil poems. It is said that he used to sleep very deeply, not waking up from loud sounds or even when his body was beaten by others. When he was about 11 years old, his father sent him to live with his paternal uncle named Subbaya in a place called Dindukal, as there was no provision for English education in their village and he wanted his sons to be educated in the English language. In 1892, his father died suddenly. After his father's death, the family split up. Venkatraman and Nagaswami stayed with Subbaya. A significant incident occurred when Venkatraman was 16 years of age. This incident stirred up a deep slumbering spiritual force within him. One of his elderly relatives one day happened to mention in passing about the holy hill called Arunachala. The mere hearing of the name Arunachala had a magical effect on the boy and generated an internal excitement which he could not understand. He asked where this holy hill was and came to know that it was in the area known as Thiruvannamalai. The image of the holy hill impressed on his psyche, and later the image of that hill drew him to itself after a turning point in his life. Shortly after that, he read a book on the lives of saints called Nayanmars, who were devotees of God Shiva. Reading of their exemplary lives of saintliness and renunciation, he was thrilled and vowed to emulate their ways in his own life. In his 17th year, Venkatraman had a remarkable spiritual awakening. He was sitting in his uncle's house when the thought occurred to him that he was about to die. He became afraid, but instead of panicking, he lay down on the ground and began to analyze what was happening. He began to investigate what constituted death, what would die and what would survive the death. He spontaneously initiated a process of self-inquiry that culminated within a few minutes in his own permanent awakening. He suddenly became the spirit and knew himself as that, no longer identifying himself as merely the body form that had been called Venkatraman. Self-realization was instantaneous, complete, and irreversible. His ego was lost in a flood of pure self-awareness. In one of his rare written comments on this process, he later wrote, "Enquiring within, who is the seer? I saw the seer disappear, leaving that alone which stands forever. No thought arose to say, I saw. How then could the thought arise to say, I did not see?" In those few moments, his individual identity disappeared and was replaced by a full awareness of the self. That experience, that awareness, remained with him for the rest of his life. He had no need to do any more practice or meditation because this death experience left him in a state of complete and final liberation. This is something very rare in the spiritual world, that someone who had no interest in the spiritual life should, within the space of a few minutes and without any effort or prayer practice, reach a state that other seekers spend lifetimes trying to attain. Though a young boy, he attained sainthood. The young saint did not tell anyone of his inner conversion and continued to carry on the role of student and family member. But he completely lost interest in sports and studies. He became meek, indrawn, and indifferent to his surroundings. Others around him noticed a complete change in his outlook. His elder brother Nagaswami noticed his inner absorption and criticized him for his laziness and indifference. This made him feel that he should leave his home. Taking only the clothes on his back and a few rupees for railway fare, he stealthily left home on 29th August 1896 and reached Thiruvannamalai. Upon arriving there, he went to the Arunachaleshwara temple. He spent the first few weeks in the thousand-pillared hall. Then he shifted to other spots in the temple and eventually to the Patalalingam vault to remain undisturbed. There he spent days absorbed in such a deep meditation that he was unaware of the bites of vermin and pests. Seshadri Swamigal, a local saint, discovered him in the underground vault and tried to protect him. After about 6 weeks in the Patalalingam, he was carried out and cleaned up. For the next 2 months, he stayed in the Subramanya shrine, so unaware of his body and surroundings that food had to be placed in his mouth or he would have starved. He came to be known as Ramana Maharishi. 6 months after his arrival at Thiruvannamalai, Ramana Maharishi moved to Gurumurtham, a temple near Thiruvannamalai. There he acquired his first permanent devotee, one Palaniswami, who was destined to stay with him the rest of his life. The devotee had formerly totally committed himself to the worship of Lord Ganesha in the form of a statue. But when he saw Ramana Maharshi with no attendant, he vowed to offer his life to take care of him. Daily, Palaniswami would take the food offerings of the many visiting devotees who came to view the saint in deep meditation. Ramana Maharshi would consent to accept a small mouthful of food each day, and the rest was returned to devotees as prasad. Even so, he would eat only if the food was put in his hand or mouth. In May 1898, Ramana Maharshi moved to a mango orchard next to Gurumurtam. During this time, he completely neglected his body. Ants bit him, but he ignored everything. Gradually, he attracted attention from visitors who admired his silence and austerities. Ultimately, a bamboo fence was built to protect him. While living at Gurumurtam temple, his family discovered his whereabouts. They came and pleaded with him to return home, but he sat motionless. Thereafter, he moved to a Shiva temple on the eastern side of Arunachala. He refused to return even when his mother came and requested for his return. Soon after this, in February 1899, Ramana Maharshi left the foothills to live on the hill of Arunachala itself. He stayed in Virupaksha cave for the next 17 years, using mango tree cave during the summers. In 1902, a government official named Shivaprakasham Pillai visited him in the hope of obtaining answers to questions about how to know one's true identity. The 14 questions put to the young saint and his answers were the Maharshi's first teachings on self-enquiry, the method for which he became widely known. These were eventually published as Who Am I? Many visitors came to him and some became his devotees. A Vedic scholar by name Kavya Kanta Sri Ganapati Shastri visited him in 1907. After receiving the teachings from Ramana Maharshi on self-enquiry, he proclaimed him as Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi. In 1916, his mother, Alagammal, joined Bhagavan Ramana and followed him when he moved to the larger Skandashram cave, where he lived until the end of 1922. His mother took up the life of a sannyasin. During this period, Ramana Maharshi composed the 5 hymns to Arunachala, his magnum opus in devotional lyric poetry. The first hymn is known as Aksharamanimalai. It was composed in Tamil in response to the request of a devotee for a song to be sung while wandering in the town for alms. Beginning in 1920, his mother's health deteriorated. She died on 19th May 1922 while Ramana was sitting beside her. From 1922 till his death in 1950, Ramana Maharshi lived in Sri Ramanashramam, the ashram that developed around his mother's tomb. He often walked from Skandashram to his mother's tomb. In December 1922, he didn't return to Skandashram and settled at the base of the hill, and Sri Ramanashramam started to develop. In 1949, it was detected that Ramana Maharishi had sarcoma in his left arm. In spite of intense medical care, on April 14, 1950, it was apparent that his physical end was near. In the evening, as the devotees sat on the veranda outside the room, which had been specifically built for Bhagavan's convenience during his illness, they spontaneously began singing Arunachala Shiva, namely the marital garland of lotus. On hearing it, Ramana's eyes opened and shone. He gave a brief smile of indescribable tenderness. From the outer corners of his eyes, tears of bliss rolled down. One more deep breath, and he was no more. At that very moment, 8:47 p.m., what appeared to be an enormous star trailed slowly across the sky, passing to the northeast towards the peak of Arunachala. Many saw this luminous body in the sky, even as far away as Mumbai, and struck by its peculiar appearance and behavior, they ascribed this phenomena to the passing of their master. The quintessence of Ramana Maharishi's teaching is found in a small booklet called Who Am I? They are direct from his unique experience of self-realization. He said that every living being longed to be happy, untainted by sorrow. Everyone has the greatest love for himself, which is solely due to the fact that happiness is his real nature. Hence, in order to realize that inherent and untainted happiness, which indeed he daily experiences when the mind is subdued in deep sleep, it is essential that he should know himself. For obtaining such knowledge, the inquiry, "Who am I?" in quest of the self is the best means. To the question as to who am I, the answer is, I am pure awareness. This awareness is by its very nature being consciousness bliss, sat chit ananda. If the mind, which is the instrument of knowledge and is the basis of all activity, subsides, the perception of the world as an objective reality ceases. Just as the spider emits the thread of the web out of itself and again withdraws it into itself, likewise, the mind projects the world out of itself and again resolves it into itself. When the mind leaves the self, the world appears. Therefore, when the world appears, the self does not appear. And when the self appears, the world does not appear. That which arises as I in the body is the mind. If one inquires as to where in the body the thought I rises first, one would discover that it rises in the heart. That is the place of the mind's origin. Even if one thinks constantly, I, one will be led to that place. Of all the thoughts that arise in the mind, I thought is the first. It is only after the rise of the I thought that other thoughts occur. The thought, "Who am I?" will destroy all other thoughts, and like the stick used for stirring the funeral pyre, it will itself be burnt up in the end. Then there will be self-realization. I have also published an audiobook on the subject. The link for the book titled Great Saints of India and the audiobook are given in the description part of this episode.